The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Mr. Fleury, I'm actually a fan of yours. Love your daily updates. Love what you do. And I'm glad to be introducing you, and I say in person, at least electronically, to my listening audience, because I want people to go check out Trumpet Daily. Tell everybody, when did you start doing what you do? Because
I appreciate you having me on, Pete. Mm-hmm. Good to be with you as well and be on your show. As far as our broadcasting program, Trumpet Daily, we've been doing it since May of 2015.
Oh, wow.
So about 8 years. It started out as just audio. We were on a local radio in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Wow.
And then streamed the broadcast as well. And I think it was at the end of 2019 that we really went hard at video. And that was kind of coming into COVID. So we were into YouTube then, and then we had a lot of videos that got censored. And so then we just streamed it ourselves on our website, thetrumpet.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's only been recently that we've kind of jumped into Rumble with our own channel. And then I joined LFA TV, which you're on as well.
Right.
I joined that just 2 weeks ago, and mm-hmm. we've had some pretty good numbers, and it's great to give the program some wider exposure.
There you go, a little self-promotion to start off on today's program. We were at the election summit yesterday in Springfield, Missouri, and that particular host, he started, I think, as a radio host in Cincinnati years ago, and has since moved online. He's got a pretty popular channel himself on Rumble, but he also has his program on the LFA channel, which, as I've mentioned over the last couple of weeks, we joined ourselves. So he was there. He actually helped us get into the event. Really helpful, very supportive, and had some good conversations with him, as well as quite a few other people, for the quick whirlwind trip that my crew enjoyed just yesterday. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You could get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com, and you can watch the program live, 11 a.m. Central Time Zone of the United States, every weekday morning. And of course, you can watch it on demand as well at that same website. Or, as I was just saying, you could go to the Rumble channel, just search for, I think Rumble had a little trouble today. We might not be up and running with the live stream just yet. I think their site was down just before we went live. So in any event, on most days, this is why we need two live stream channels. Our website, you'll recall a while back, we had trouble with our website, and then a lot of you shifted over to the Rumble channel quickly. Today, it's going in the other direction, but in any event, most days, you can watch the show live either at trumpetdaily.com or our Rumble channel. Just search for the Trumpet Daily at Rumble. And then, of course, this program is replayed every evening on LFA TV. That's 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. on the East Coast. We certainly appreciate your feedback, too. If you'd like to write the show, you can send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. Just a little bit of housekeeping. We've got so many big events coming up. Yesterday, we were able to meet General Flynn, Michael Flynn, and his crew, just in way of preparing for the event that we're going to be sponsoring this Monday evening. Here's a quick promo video regarding the Flynn engagement.
General Michael Flynn, get ready.
Because we're bringing you back.
Buy tickets at thetrumpet.com/Flynn. As of earlier today, I think we have 535 so far that are going to be attending the event Monday night. There will be a brief Q&A session just after he speaks. We've got an outstanding introductory video prepared, much longer than the one you just saw there. That's a pretty good little promo itself. But we're going to be showing the introductory video on tomorrow's show. You can look forward to that. The world premiere. The guys, particularly Jesse, have done a fantastic job in putting together a wonderful introduction to General Michael Flynn. And then following that intro on Monday evening, he'll take the stage and speak to us. And then it'll open up for questions and answers thereafter. Before the Monday evening engagement, he's going to address the youth in the Edmond area at 2 in the afternoon. So we're looking forward to both of those events. And then before that, as I've mentioned, we're going to have him on this set, this very set. He's going to be sitting down with us. We'll sit down for that one. We've got a couple of beautiful stools right here to my left. I usually stand for the broadcast, but every once in a while, we can work in some sitting. So we'll have a nice discussion that will take up most of the hour on Monday's show. Lots and lots to look forward to. Before all of that, even, you've got the encore performance of Celtic Throne. That is Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. in Armstrong Auditorium. Just go to CelticThrone.com. I think we're getting close to 600 people in attendance for the add-on show. We weren't even expecting to have another performance, but almost 600. We'd love to fill it up. We'd love to fill up the balcony as well and really raise the roof on Armstrong Auditorium for that final performance. Here's a short promo regarding Celtic Throne.
Join the journey of Celtic Throne live in Edmond, Oklahoma. The riveting story of Irish dance brought to life with sensational music.
Absolutely brilliant.
Award-winning Irish dancers.
Just impressed with their physical condition. They're in amazing shape.
Electrifying family entertainment.
Fantastic. Awesome. I would love to see it again.
Experience Celtic Throne. Encore performance Sunday, August 20th at Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond. Get your tickets at CelticThrone.com.
Sunday, August 20th. We're nearly there. Just a couple of days away before that final performance. Well, as I said yesterday, we were at the election summit sponsored by Mike Lindell, and of course the mainstream media, they steer clear of these events, or if they do comment on it, I'll give you a clip here in just a second. They just mock him, they make fun of him. But you know what was fascinating? It's more of an inside baseball look for me, for Sam, my producer. You go into this event and, you know, it was pretty tedious as they went state by state and talked about some of the challenges that they have with respect to election integrity. But while CBS and MSNBC and CNN, while they were not there, you had the entire expo center, just the outer perimeter, all of these alternative media platforms. The Gateway Pundit, we've quoted from them before. They were broadcasting there. I just showed you a clip from Pete Santelli's show from his Rumble channel. And back in the back, you had Steve Bannon, his podcast, and the production. I mean, all of these were basically online productions. No main networks, but there was one show, I think it was a religious show called Flashpoint. Couldn't believe the lighting, all of the screens, the control panels and such, and just the people working on this production and the set that they set up temporarily just for this two-day event. It really does show. I mean, it shows you what the regime media fears. The fact that Donald Trump, despite all that he's going against, he still is able to get his message out there. He goes off to these rallies and none of the big networks carry it live, but you know, the online platforms do. There's some freedom there. And a lot of people are really upping their standards with respect to video that you just show on the computer. Of course, more and more with smart TVs, you can watch those productions on your television at home as well. But the news media landscape, it really has changed dramatically in recent years. And that's good. It's good for outfits or organizations like us. We can, whether we broadcast on our website or we send it off to Rumble, which is a lot more supportive of a message like ours than YouTube or Google or Facebook ever were. God does see to it that the message goes forth. Speaking of, again, this summit, Last night we heard that there was a panel discussion that included General Flynn and Steve Bannon and Mike Lindell and then another guy, an attorney, I can't remember his name. But then after that, Lou Dobbs spoke. He gave a short address, and he used to work for Fox. I think it was Fox Business. But he was an outspoken critic of all that happened, all the cheating that went on in November of 2020. And so I think he lasted until April or May of 2021. And just like Fox did more recently with Tucker, they said, hey, you got to get out. You got to get out. One of the points that was made last night, I mean, if you just look at the bottom line for Fox, why would you fire Tucker, your most popular commentator, and then lose a third of your audience? And, well, and the same with Lou Dobbs. He was popular over at Fox Business. Why would they fire? And as was brought out last evening, it just shows you the bigger, what's at play here, not just at Fox News, but the globalist mentality and the trillions of dollars that are in place. Some guy was talking about how that Fox News paid off Dominion $740 billion. Rather than go there, rather than go to November 2020, you see, that's forbidden. The establishment, whether right or left, they have decided that it's forbidden to go there. You cannot talk about, you can talk about the corruption from the communist left and how that they lie, steal, cheat in every respect, except for the election. You can't go there. I mean, if you do, like I said earlier this week, you're liable to be indicted, maybe put in prison. This is what the whole summit was about, the cheating. And good for Mike Lindell to raise awareness. And as I said on yesterday's show, you just see more and more evidence pouring forth, not just of the steal, but of the cover-up of the steal. And that was the whole intent behind January 6th as well. You've got to cover it up. You've got to go after the opponents. Listen, getting back to Lou Dobbs, listen to his, this is just a short clip. He was on with Steve Bannon at this Expo Center just yesterday, clip two.
If you're not going to stand up for Donald Trump right now, after 8 years of political persecution by the establishment, and by the way, the establishment is the deep state establishment, the Marxist Dems who run the Democrat Party, it's pathetic. And to watch everybody just roll over for this is, it's un-American. What the hell are people thinking?
So you get a flavor of the way a lot of people at conventions like this think. They're very much pro-Trump, and there's not a lot of love for the Republican Party, certainly not the establishment, the ones who won't fight. General Flynn was saying last night as part of the discussion, we cannot quit. We cannot quit. The only way you stop fighting is either by dying or quitting. And if you're still here, if you're still living, you can't quit. You've got to fight against this movement. This is the way that so many of them think. And of course, their hope is largely in man, you know, and either Donald Trump on the one hand, or as we heard a lot yesterday, the more grassroots movement, you know, getting involved on the local level at the you know, school councils, school boards, whatever, local community councils, counties, and taking over the country, you know, step by step. Well, God, of course, has a view of all that's happening, and he does have, I mean, he is intervening where necessary. And as we've said so often, Donald Trump is coming back, but it's not going to solve the many problems that our nation is facing. Curses really and truly have set in because of sin, because of transgressors coming to the full, because of rebellion against God's law, because of sickness. Top to bottom, Isaiah 1 brings this out. Listen to Mark Levin as he talks about the communist left and what they're interested in. And as you hear this clip again, you just have to keep coming back to America Under Attack. I brought some notes today. I don't know if I'll get to them, but some notes from the 2013 version. The first version of this book came out in April of 2013. My father, of course, was giving messages, sermons about the content of this book even before that. But listen now, listen to Levin as he comments on the attack that this country is under. Clip 8.
That's the funny thing about this Democrat Party. It does hate America. It's hated America since its founding. Hates this country. We've gone through several years where they attacked the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And it's the voting system that they crave. They put out this H.R. 1, which would destroy all the protections against fraud in elections. And if you dare say anything, you're the denier. Let me explain something about Georgia and all the rest of it. Every one of these phony indictments where they dust off these old laws or they take what is normal actions in the course of an election where you're lobbying state legislatures, where you're claiming elections are wrong, whether they're wrong or not, whether you're raising legitimate things or not. This is an attack on the people. Every indictment is an attack on our freedom, our ability to vote. The Democrats don't care about voting. They care about winning at all costs. The Democrat Party wants to be the monopoly party in this country. It is very close to being that. It wants to be the state party, where the government and the Democrat Party are tied at the hip. They already have that when it comes to the administrative state. That means when they're out of office, they still run the country. When they're in office, they expand the non-elected parts of the government. It was John Adams who said, when a people lose their virtue, they're going to lose their freedom.
Okay, so some interesting comments, top to bottom. I probably should have shortened that clip a bit, because right there in the middle, remember, he says the Democrats don't care about voting. They care about winning at all costs. And of course, I would respond to that by saying, well, that's a true statement. Was it true in 2020? Did they do everything that they could to win at all costs? Were they willing to lie and cheat? He talked about the voting system, how that they want control of the voting system. Well, they grabbed control of it in 2020 with the mass mail-in ballots, among other things, covering up Hunter's laptop, the DOJ pressuring Facebook and Twitter into silencing the opponents, the critics, those that were telling the truth. But the thing of it is, it's like Steve Bannon was shouting last night. Where is Fox News? Where are the Republicans? Where are the congressmen and women? Where are the senators for events like this? And by the way, make fun of Mike Lindell all that you want, but the spread that he put out, including the food, and just free for everyone. I mean, the man is generous. He gives of his own fortune, and so does Donald Trump. I've made this point before. Contrast it with these others, these crime families that are just pulling in tens of millions of dollars from foreign adversaries, of all things, taking in bribes. And yet you cannot get the panel on Morning Joe to talk about anything other than bad orange man. And I say it as bad period, orange period, man period. It's all that they can think about. It's all that they can talk about. Listen to, I think this is actually Morning Joe, clip 1.
I've been talking this morning about how these numbers that have come out today are so damning, and not only for Donald Trump, but for the Republicans who still blindly follow him. And I said, things are only going to become clearer as we move forward. The process is going to become more transparent. And all of the lies that Donald Trump pushes are going to get exposed.
I genuinely think we need to start having a discussion about whether this guy is a flight risk. When I saw that he was announcing a press conference to relitigate the 2020 election with his evidence of fraud, and we've got Mike Lindell holding a conference this week doing the same thing, I kind of started warming up my popcorn, because this is the best thing that could ever happen politically and legally. Yeah, Donald, give us more of that great evidence. Make some more allegations against people.
That's all they can do is just laugh and ridicule. They're obviously not going to consider the evidence. And like Mike Lindell said yesterday, I mean, we're beyond the evidence. They're revealing. They're overplaying their hand every step of the way. You know, General Flynn made an interesting comment as I was just chatting with him in the back of the room. He said to me, you know, if these radicals were smart, they should have just let Trump, they should have planned for the big steal in 2024, go ahead and let Trump win. He was a runaway favorite in 2020. And then now, I mean, there'd only be 16 months left of Trump and then he'd be gone. As it is, they steal the election. Then they go after Trump with all these indictments, thinking he's just going to go away. And it's not working. He's just gaining popularity, even with the indictments. How about this one? Sam just emailed this to me. Senator Colton Moore, I'm not sure which state he represents. I'm sure he's a Republican. It says, as a Georgia state senator, oh, there you go. He's a state senator in Georgia. As a Georgia state senator, I'm officially calling for an emergency session to review the actions of Fannie Willis. You know, she's the one that brought forth the latest indictment saying that, yeah, Mark Meadows should go to prison too because he called somebody in Pennsylvania to get two phone numbers. He says, I'm calling for an emergency session to review the actions of Fannie Willis. America is under attack, he said. America is under attack. Where have you heard this before? He says, America is under attack. I'm not going to sit back and watch as radical left prosecutors politically target political opponents. They've thrown off the gloves. They've removed the masks. They've fully revealed what they're doing. And you heard a lot of speakers point that out just yesterday in Springfield, Missouri. Mr. Flynn was saying how that evil people are a lot of times brought down by their arrogance. Their arrogance. They just can't help themselves. I was thinking of the lawsuit, the litigation over Mystery of the Ages. 6 years we fought for God's truth. Here were lawless Laodicean Ezekiel 34 shepherds in it to feed for themselves, just feed themselves, not the flock, certainly not. And we had 6 years going in and out of depositions and this and that. And these people, they'd sit down in a deposition or they'd sit in front of a judge and they'd say, you know what, we really do value Mystery of the Ages. We've got important plans for Mystery of the Ages. And we were across the table thinking, are you serious? You're lying. You hate that message. You want to bury it. Well, the arrogance, their own arrogance and vanity got the best of them. Because right at the start of that lawsuit, right at the start of that litigation, Joe Tkach Jr., he came out with his book, Transformed by Truth, Fundamental Transformation in the Church of God. He came out with his book, and at the back of it, in a footnote, he said, it's our Christian duty to keep Mystery of the Ages out of print, period, full stop. And so they got to hear that little quote, for 6 years, as we expose their lies, Your Honor, they don't have any interest in Mystery of the Ages. Look at what he wrote in his own book. He said he had a Christian duty to suppress it, to keep it out of print. And all that we want is to be able to freely distribute it without cost or obligation. And God made sure that we were able to do that. Now we're seeing the same thing. The same spirit. The same spirit in these lawless traitors. As I say, they've pulled off the masks. They've revealed that they are, in fact, communist infiltrators. They hate, as Mark Levin said, they hate their countries. They don't care about voting. Their concern is about winning at all costs. Well, Mr. Levin, you should go to that summit yesterday and today. And where's the Rupert Murdoch people? Why don't they go to the summit? Why not at least give them a voice? Well, the only ones who will, all of those alternative media outlets that lined the back end of that expo center and the sidewalls as well. The truth is getting out there. God is exposing. He's exposing this communist infiltration. I've referred to this brochure so many times. The communist infiltration of the United States. It was prophesied. And you'll read this chapter, this particular chapter, and he was right. And you'll see that Herbert Armstrong was talking about this as early as the 1940s and 50s. That's right. The 1940s or 50s. It's amazing. You can see the 800 number there if you want to call and request a free copy. It's 1-866-930-3024. Of course, you can get to all of our literature at our website, thetrumpet.com, as well. There's a literature tab there that takes you to the library, the online library. But if you want hard copies, we'd love for you to have one. There's no cost, no obligation. We just need your contact info where we can send you this free literature. Trump is losing ground, so says Fox News. It's wishful thinking. They had this graphic up with the power rankings. It's got Vivek, some guy I don't recognize. You got Mike Pence. What's the lady's name? Of course, Chris Christie. He's making the round. They love Chris Christie in the regime media. Joe Scarborough says that Donald Trump is afraid of Chris Christie. I saw that clip. I've got it later. I can play it, I suppose. I mean, how about that for a laugh-out-loud take on Donald Trump? He's afraid of Chris Christie. Oh, okay. Sure. The Fox headline, they may not be at the top of the polls, but these candidates are still gaining ground. Uh-oh. Trump's in trouble. That's Fox News. Fox News, like Bannon and others said yesterday, where are they? Here we're fighting for election integrity. You would think the conservative media would be all on board with that. And even Mark Levin, I mean, he acknowledges that they don't care about elections. They care about winning at all cost. And he mentioned the HR whatever bill that's intended to just remove election integrity so they can cheat every single time. But don't say that about 2020. Do not say that about 2020, because Fannie Willis might come after you with an indictment. See how it works? Where's the courage? Where's the willingness to fight in the conservative media? There's not much. There just isn't. We can be thankful to God, though, that there are avenues to get the message out, to get the truth out. I mean, this right here exposes what's happening. What's happening right now in the United States? You can call the operators and request America Under Attack as well. Here's clip five, Chris Christie.
So, you know, I do think when evidence starts to be presented, witnesses get on the stand and tell their story. And if the prosecution does an effective job of weaving that story together, and Donald Trump has to be sitting there. Remember, Jake, he has to be there every day. This is not an optional exercise. You are a criminal defendant. And I think that's one of the things folks should keep in mind that are watching. He is now going to be, when he appears next week in Georgia sometime, he's going to be out on bail in four different jurisdictions in this country, New York, Miami, Washington, and Atlanta. I think that what Republican voters have to start to ask themselves is two things. One, is someone out on bail in four jurisdictions really our best chance to beat Joe Biden? And secondly, are we really going to continue to act as if this is normal conduct? It's not.
He agrees with Fannie Willis. He sides with Fannie Willis. Notice he said there, you know, if the prosecutor just kind of weaves the story together. And keep in mind, Donald Trump, he's going to have to sit there every day in this trial. And listen to this one. This is a Republican. This is a Fox News is hoping and praying that he can somehow move out of the basement as far as the poll numbers are concerned. If he can just get above 1%, maybe he can give Donald Trump a run for his money. It's laughable. This is from Fox News. It says, Atlanta prosecutor Fannie Willis proposed March 4th, 2024 as the trial's commencement date. A former top lawman at the Department of Justice called the Atlanta prosecutor's proposed commencement trial date for former President Donald Trump an example of how the proceedings against him are politically designed to upend his surging candidacy. It says here, former Attorney General Matthew Whitaker keyed into Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis's announcement of a proposed date, March 4, to begin proceedings against the former president over election-related allegations, which would fall one day before the crucial Super Tuesday primaries. It's politically motivated through and through. Everyone sees this. But there's Chris Christie. Yeah, do we really want someone as the Republican nominee who's had four indictments? I mean, he's out on bail four times. Do we really want someone who's going off to trial on March 4th, I mean, right before Super Tuesday? The Uniparty. The Uniparty. That's what was getting shouted down yesterday from the stage at the election summit. They're all the same. They're all establishment. They're all pro-deep state. They're all behind Fannie Willis. They all swoon before the dear leader, Barack Obama. And they all think that Donald Trump is public enemy number one. Blah, blah, blah. We've heard it so many times before. It's like a broken record. But listen, to, just coming back to Christie and the fact that Donald Trump is evidently he's terrified of Christie. Here's Joe Scarborough, clip six.
I do think he's scared of Chris Christie. He saw what Chris Christie did to Marco Rubio when Chris Christie went into a debate with one thing in mind. He knows Chris Christie put Jared Kushner's father in jail for a very long time. He knows he's a prosecutor who's ruthless and knows how to push his case. And he also knows that his secret sauce in 2016 was being the disruptor, right? Shaking Hillary Clinton up on the debate stage, shaking the Marcos and everybody else up on the debate stage. That gig, that's like 8 years old, right? Right? That's Elvis in 77 now. And I think Chris Christie's got his number. And he knows, like, Donald Trump, he's got the gut instinct, obviously. His political gut instinct is second to none. Like, he sees it coming. And so I just don't, I think he's scared to death of Chris Christie and will not have the guts to go or the nerve to go on stage with Chris Christie anywhere.
There they are trying to bait Donald Trump into attending the debates. Trump doesn't need to. He's got the nationalist populist movement fully behind him, supporting him. And no one supporting Chris Christie. Trump should stay away. Why bother? Why bother? Christie and them don't defend him. They'd rather defend Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis! And this crazy indictment, I went through some of the craziness of it yesterday. This is from, well, let me just play, as far as the timing, I mentioned it happens right before Super Tuesday. That is, if the judge worships Fannie Willis like Chris Christie does, then it's going to happen right before Super Tuesday, next March. It's all timed, you see. This is lawfare. This is law. They fully exposed their strategy. And this is their ace up the sleeve. They did the mass mail-in ballots, so can they get away with that again? Probably not. They'll try to cheat in other ways, for sure. But now it's, you got to get him in jail. You got to put him in prison. You've got to disqualify him from even running. This is what they're willing to do to cheat their way to victory in 2024. Isn't it obvious that they cheated their way to victory in 2020? Look at that year, as I was telling the students in forum this morning. What a dreadful, nightmarish year that was, with the scamdemic and all the lockdowns and the masking and the COVID scaremongering. And then the summer of love with the BLM and Antifa riots. And then a basement candidate for the Democrat Party. He comes out for the fake inauguration with like 12 people. That was the start of 2021. But it's like it was a nightmare, a dream world. That was what they were willing to do. All of that served their purpose for rigging and stealing the election in 2020. Now they're moving on to indictment stage. Put them in jail. Just like they would do in some third world communist country, some dictatorship, some banana republic. Just put him in jail. Put him behind bars. And then he can't beat us, period. This is getting back to the timing. Right before Super Tuesday. That's what Fannie Willis wants. Listen to what Newt Gingrich had to say on Fox recently. Clip 7.
I think people are now so angry,
right,
at what is such. I mean, the Atlanta situation was an absurdity. That's a district attorney who, if the state of Georgia had any respect, would get her out of office.
Right.
And you watch this whole thing, and I'm told it was all orchestrated from Washington. And after the Weiss nomination as a special counsel blew up, that Friday night somebody called and said, you got to move Monday.
And then she did Monday night at 10:30. What an embarrassment after a false start.
Now, I don't know who Newt Gingrich's sources are, but here again, you've seen some of the graphics showing that as soon as this happened to Hunter and the Biden crime family, then the next day there's an indictment to get the regime media to focus on something different. Certainly not on bribes that the Biden crime family took in. And here's Gingrich saying that when Garland announced that Weiss was special counsel, he was coming right from within. He was the guy that was covering up for Hunter for 5 years. So that kind of blows up in Garland's face. And then D.C., the swamp, Joe Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, the dear leader, calls up Fannie Willis, says, hey, got to get it out on Monday. And then they leaked it Monday afternoon, mistakenly, deleted it, and then it comes out that night. These people are tripping over themselves to try to destroy the bad orange man. And who will stand up to them? Who will stand up to them? This is from Charlie Kirk. It was from a few days ago at The Federalist. It says, when politicians are tempted to prosecute their enemies for political reasons, they must fear the same thing happening to them. He points out how that there's 27 Republican attorneys general in the U.S. and 23 Democrats. The ones like Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg in New York, look at what they do with their positions of power. They persecute their opponents. But the Republicans, I guess the Republicans are above. And the thing of it is, Kirk isn't even suggesting that you go after Democrats with sham indictments like they're doing against Trump. He's just saying, go after the crime family. Go after the bribes. Go after Jim Biden for all the crimes he's committed with that crime family. What about the laptop? What about the cocaine? What about the illegal firearm? Where are the prosecutions? Aren't there Republican prosecutors in other jurisdictions where that criminal behavior took place in? But see, they won't. And so the radical leftists, these communists, they just keep carrying out the lawfare. They don't have anything to fear. No one will stand up to them. It says here, this cabal of prosecutors has existed for a while in New York, for instance. Well, further on it says, but the Democrat effort to criminalize their political enemies has reached its climax in 2023. Republicans have sat and watched as four separate indictments have come down from three separate prosecutors. They've just sat and watched. It's worse than that. You just heard it from Chris Christie. He's a Republican. And he's there saying, yeah, if Fannie can just weave it together, if she can just bring it to, you know, Trump's going to have to sit there and watch it. And, you know, he's a loose cannon. He's going to say something that's incriminating. This is the way these people think. They side with this demonic, radical left. Just like the Georgia congressman said, America's under attack. And more and more, you are seeing who's on what side. It's clear as day. Clear as day. Says finally, the goal of all these indictments is simple. Rig the 2024 election in the court system before a single ballot can even be cast and criminalize the MAGA political movement Trump has built. Plain as day, you can see the goal of these indictments. There's just one more story. I've had it in my notes for a couple weeks now. The New York Times, the U.S. hunts Chinese malware that could disrupt American military operations. In other words, the military computers have been hacked. But thankfully, the voting machines and computing, that's all completely above board. There's no threat to those machines ever being manipulated or hacked. Well, I speak as a fool. That happens too. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. BibleStudyCenter.com. We'll be right back and conclude today's show with our Bible study segment. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Herbert W. Armstrong College has sponsored and supported archaeological digs in Jerusalem since 2006. This year, the Armstrong Institute of Biblical Archaeology and Hebrew University joined together to further excavate the Ophel, one of the most important and exciting archaeological sites in Israel. On June 18th this year, the initial phase of the excavation began. Hebrew University archaeologists Professor Uzi Livner and Dr. Orit Peleg Barkat led a team of Herbert W. Armstrong College students and alumni, student diggers from Hebrew University, and other volunteers to excavate the area. First, diggers removed modern reconstruction walls in the area. At the start of July, 10 student volunteers from Yeshiva University in New York joined the Ophel excavation team. Other volunteer excavators from around the world joined throughout the dig. Much like the previous phase in 2022, the 2023 season focused primarily on revealing Second Temple period structures and material. Compared to last year, this dig was significantly larger and more extensive. Diggers worked on removing a domestic Byzantine structure. Its removal shed more light on a monumental building from the early Roman period that, along with a massive ritual bath or mikveh, appears to be related to the function of the Second Temple. Additionally, diggers continued to excavate subterranean drainage tunnels connected to both the mikveh and the Second Temple structure. The team also opened a new area of excavation, Area E, in the hope that it would provide more finds from the Second Temple period. For the first time ever, the Armstrong Institute of Biblical Archaeology blogged this year's excavation season on its website. The excavation blog provided up-to-date information, photos, and videos of the excavation, allowing those interested to follow along with exciting new developments.
So I'm area supervisor of Area D1. This is a continuation of our excavation underground through a series of tunnels from last year. So I believe you've already done an interview with Amir. His is Area D. His is the upper area, trying to get down to this nice, beautiful Second Temple period large structure. And Area D1 is essentially a series of drainage tunnels that go beneath it, and then that also help make up the important substructure for the building on top.
These archaeological digs in Jerusalem are hugely important because of the biblical history they reveal and confirm, particularly from the time of King David and Solomon. By supporting excavations in Jerusalem, the PCG works to let the stones speak, proving the accuracy of the Bible as a historical record. To learn more about the work of the Armstrong Institute of Biblical Archaeology, visit armstronginstitute.org.
ArmstrongInstitute.org, that's a website, one of our websites that we don't promote enough, but go and visit that and you can keep up with the latest work that we have going from Jerusalem. We were really excited to see that opportunity open up for, I guess, what was it, 13 or 14 of our students and alumni. But we're also very happy to have them back as they've joined us again to start, in the case of the students, to start their new semester here in Edmond, some of them on their way to our sister campus at Edstone in the Midlands of the UK. The other day, it might have been last week, I talked about General John Pershing, the famous general that led American forces in World War I. And I mentioned how that he very tragically had lost his family in an inferno that happened at their home, except for his son. His five-year-old boy survived the fire. And he then proceeded, Mr. Pershing, he proceeded to raise his son on his own. He had some help with others in the family. But he was a traveling man working for the military his life and corresponding a lot with his son via letters. And he said this one time when he learned that his son, now 15, had gotten caught up in the wrong crowd. He wasn't doing his homework. He wasn't taking his grades seriously enough. I'll just repeat this quote that I gave to you the other day. But Pershing says to his 15-year-old son, this was a long time ago, you know, a century ago, times were very different. He said, what can you expect to amount to if at your age you do not take your work seriously? He said, remember that you are creating an impression for good and for good or bad upon everybody that knows you. And the impression so far is one that is not very flattering. It says, as the boy, so is the man. If you're lazy and no account in your schoolwork, you will be lazy and no account after you grow up. In other words, what you're doing now, what you're doing at 15, what you're doing in those formative years, it matters. As the boy, so is the man. Pershing said this, this is a very serious matter, although you do not seem to take it so. It simply means that you will not be prepared to meet the problems of life, either through a desire to achieve or through preparation in school. You're not going to meet the challenges and the responsibilities of life if you blow off your schooling, if you don't take these preparatory years seriously. I mentioned the point that Herbert Armstrong makes in The Missing Dimension in Sex about the all-important preparatory years. He said the ages, and it can vary from one person to the next, but generally speaking, between 16 and 25-ish, that's where you're preparing for, you know, your life's journey. That's where you prepare for a career. This is from MDS. It says, during these years, that's 16 to 25-ish, the mind is capable of acquiring faster than at any other stage of life the advanced learning or knowledge needed before beginning one's adult career, whether that be in business, profession, occupation, or marriage. Marriage too. Marriage and family. I mean, that's a career. It's your most important career, in fact. This is what we're here to do, to build the family for God, the spiritual family and the physical family. General Flynn was saying yesterday how delighted he was to just see a few families attend that event. And the kids probably were a little reluctant to go if they had any choice. But he loved seeing family. He loved seeing children. It's becoming a rarity these days because of the broken family I mentioned last time that we got into this subject. Just all of the crazy things that you see in this world, the summer camps that are indoctrination camps, really, quite unlike the one that we just had in with SEP here on this campus. Herbert Armstrong wrote about when he was 16. He writes this in the autobiography, and that's another book that we probably need to plug a little bit more often. 1,000 pages, If you haven't read the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong, it's a riveting read. And again, we offer it free. We offer it without cost or obligation. Call our operators today and they'll send you the big book. It'll come in a big package. 1-866-930-3024. He writes in that book about when he was 16, he was working at a hotel in Iowa somewhere. And this hotel manager started to talk to Mr. Armstrong and to encourage him. Young Mr. Armstrong, he was 16 at the time. And he began to tell him that, you know, you could really make something of your life. If you're willing to work hard, it's kind of what Pershing was saying to his son. You've got to work hard, son. As the boy, so is the man. You're in the midst of the preparatory years. Mr. Armstrong said here, it's impossible to estimate the importance of this sudden arousal of ambition. That's what this hotel manager triggered in Mr. Armstrong's thinking. He aroused him to act, to be something, to do something with his life. It says, this injection of an intense desire for success, this igniting of the work, of the spark of determined energy to achieve worthy accomplishment, he says, this was the turning point of my life. This was the turning point of Herbert Armstrong's life. I mean, he was, obviously, he had a very active and productive life filled with many turning points. But this was the one that really got his life on a right path, on a proper trajectory. This was the turning point of my life. He says, suddenly life became a whole new ballgame. There had awakened within a totally new outlook on the future. He says, this, I believe, is the vital ingredient that has been missing in most human lives. Most continue through life as I was prior to this arousal of ambition. The idea of looking forward to achieving success or an accomplishment of any note never intruded itself into my mind. Nor does it probably in the average mind. And it was like an intrusion, for my mind was uninterruptedly occupied only with the interests, pleasures, and enjoyments of the moment. Just the pleasures of life. 2 Timothy 3 has something to say about that. Our addiction to pleasure and to just going along, as Mr. Armstrong wrote elsewhere, to be a victim of circumstance. To not actually decide or do or act a certain way, but to just kind of drift. A lot of young people, a lot of adults take that approach to their daily living. Just drift along. Mr. Armstrong wrote in an article, this is from 1980. He said, so just what do we mean, the work? How did it start? Whom did Christ, the living head of the church, use? How is it built? What is it today? What all does it include? It says, it all started when I was a lad of only 16 years old. A summer vacation employer aroused the spark of ambition within me, or rather, I should say, Christ caused him to do it. Mr. Armstrong could look back over his long and productive life and see the hand of God and see Christ involved, even in his youth, even in his teen years. Read 1 Samuel 3 in verse 19. Where a 13-year-old would not let one bit of truth fall to the ground. He gathered up everything that God had to teach him. And speaking of that, study Proverbs 3 sometime. All the verses in that chapter. It's fantastic study about looking to God for your education and not leaning to your own understanding. Mr. Armstrong could look back on his life and see the hand of God. And he responded. He responded. He took action. He wasn't a victim of circumstance. He decided. And of course, God was giving him guidance all along the way as well. That's all that we have time for today. Unfortunately, you're listening to or you're viewing Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.